Hey, I have really appreciated the camp. There's several messages I really needed to hear. I don't know about you guys. It's a tremendous privilege to be a part of this and to be asked to speak. So I believe me, it's something that I take very serious and spend a lot of time thinking about. And just appreciate for the opportunity to be able to encourage you guys in whatever way I may. And I want to just say that what Mark Miller said is something that was near and dear to my heart. When he said, you know, you gotta know that Old Testament. You know, brethren, if you go back and look at the record of the early church, as they were proving that Jesus was the Christ, they were proving that Jesus was the Christ from the Scripture. What Scripture, brethren? The Old Testament. So you should be able, even today, be able to sit down with somebody and prove that Jesus is the Christ with a record that we have from the Gospels and even secular writings, and be able to prove from the Old Testament that Jesus is the Christ. So to get a proper appreciation of what we have a hold of in the New Covenant, we have to understand what God gave the type, the shadow, to work with in the Old Covenant, those physical things. So this is something that's near and dear to me. You know, Luke jokes that, well, if it's an Old Testament question, send it to Kevin. I'm going to start kicking them back to him. Hey, go ask the preacher. He's supposed to know. You know. So, and I'm extremely grateful in our assembly. We have several of the young guys that are really excited about learning things from the Old Testament, the types in the shadows. Is this hum coming from, or is there... Oh, it's a truck. Okay, I thought maybe I was too close to a speaker. All right, so thanks. Anyway, I'm just excited to be here. I am. It took a long time for Monday morning to get here. It's not about me. I get like this when I'm speaking at camp. I know you guys think, this guy doesn't get nervous at anything. You'd be wrong about that. You'd be wrong. Okay, so just a little warm-up so we can get this over with. Just a little warm-up. Because, it's Monday morning, it's camp. Jay is expecting us to go out of here fired up. Amen? Okay, that's kind of weak, but we're going to work on that. Okay, so, we're going to go from Tim McHenry right there at that other brand of computers. You know, that caused Eve to sin. Anyway, what's that? Are you wearing your shop rag today? Oh, okay. So anyway, on this side over here, this is amen, okay? Amen, all right? And we're going to practice a little bit, so this is going to be amen. You guys over there, you're going to go, that's right. You got it? Okay. All right, I'm going to say that again. We're going to start with this side. You guys, okay. So, you got it?
Amen. That's right.
One more time, just to make sure. You got it?
Amen.
Oh, this is awesome. I'm done, Jay. Go ahead, bring Davis up. All right. My text is Deuteronomy 30. So if you would turn there with me. Deuteronomy 30, beginning in verse 1. So it shall be when all of these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind in all the nations where Yahweh, your God, or Elohim, has banished you, and you return to Yahweh, Elohim, and obey him with all your heart and soul, according to all that I command you today, you and your sons, then Yahweh, Elohim, will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you, and will gather you again from all the peoples where Yahweh, Elohim, that's the word in Hebrew. So I read that just to kind of keep you guys on your toes. You go, what's he saying, Elohim? Read it, okay? If your outcasts are at the ends of the earth, from there, Yahweh, Elohim, will gather you, and from there he will bring you back. And Yahweh, Elohim, will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. And he will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. Moreover, Yahweh, Elohim, I should get you guys to start repeating it. This is the important verse here, and this is one that Jay asked me to kind of take a look at, and I'll spend a little time on it. Verse 6. Moreover, Yahweh, Elohim, will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love Yahweh Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, in order that you may live. And Yahweh Elohim will inflict all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you or persecuted you. You can go back about verse or chapter 27 and read up to the beginning of Deuteronomy 30, and you'll see what Moses is talking about there. And in verse 8, and you shall again obey Yahweh and observe all his commandments, which I command you today. Then Yahweh, Elohim, will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hand, in the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your cattle, in the produce of your ground. For Yahweh will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey Yahweh, Elohim, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, if you turn to Yahweh, Elohim, with all your heart and soul. Let's go to our sponsor in heaven. Mighty God, our eternal Father, our wonderful Counselor, the Prince who brings peace. To you, Lord Jesus Christ, it is my prayer this morning that I will be able to deliver a message that will glorify you, bring you rightly the honor which you deserve. And in the process, Father, I pray that my brothers and sisters will be able to be encouraged, edified, and ultimately to be equipped for the work of service which you've entrusted to us, your people. Thankful again that you have preserved your word. What an incredible miracle. Anybody that really stops to think about it should be in awe of the fact that you have preserved it as come to us, such a way that we can know if we are honest and search it, tested it as you told us we can, that it is indeed the truth. And we can with confidence base our salvation and our hopes of eternal life upon it. So it is our goal, as always, Father, when we gather together, to be equipped to drive that taproot of faith deeper, to continue to fill in that faith picture of who you said we are in Christ Jesus, as you look to us to execute your purpose to your glory. Just praise you again, Father, for all that you've done for us. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, so we have over the top of here, if you've got a New American Standard Bible, over the top of this chapter, it says restoration promised. So this is a great, divine prescription if you want to just look at it from its basic, verses there. It's got a great little setup of what would be a order or a paradigm for restoration. It says verse 1, if you call them to mind, the things he said. So again, you can either we're going to go with ours because we're talking about restoration here, just so you guys can remember this. So the first one would be, you call it to mind, so you can use either reflect, if you reflect on these things, or remember. Okay? Then he goes on in verse 2, and you return. Reflect or remember, return. Then he says you're going to be restored in verse 3. I'll restore you from captivity. Right? And he goes on and says, I'll bring you back. Right? And the Lord God will bring you back to something that you get to possess, the land. Okay? There is where he's going to do the great work of renewing the heart. He's going to circumcise the heart, see? And then guess what happens? These people with a renewed heart are the one that the Lord rejoices over. The ones with a circumcised heart are the ones that he's going to rejoice over. So there's some really great stuff in here. Now, I haven't heard anybody read this verse yet that I can recall in camp, but, really important principle that we always need to remember is in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go there. Some of you already know what I'm going to read, I'm sure. But I just hadn't heard it, at least while I've been in the assemblies. Saturday morning we had to get the breakfast together, so I missed most of Mr. Ferguson's message. Heard it was good. Where is Mike, by the way?
In the kitchen.
Oh, there you are. Thanks for your encouragement. Mike must have told me 2 or 3 times, I'm really looking forward to hearing you today. And I'm like, me too. I wonder what I'm going to say. You know? So anyway, verse 46, 1 Corinthians 15. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. Then the spiritual. So this is why God did everything he did with the foreshadow of the types that he uses in reference to the Old Testament things. See? First the natural, first the physical things that we can get a grasp on, understand, and then we can move into the spiritual, which is where he's been moving all along, into the spiritual. Okay? So we have the prescription for restoration. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. You guys want to make sure and kind of keep a finger in there. I'm going to try to as we bounce back and forth looking at things. Get me water here. Okay, banishment. This banishment. Even your premillennials, if you happen to look at some of the commentators that have things to say about this passage, will tell you, well, this couldn't have been fulfilled when they went into the Babylonian captivity and came back. Because there's things that are said in here that just don't match. I don't know if you guys caught that. It says here in verse 1, so it shall be when all these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind in all nations where Yahweh Elohim has banished you, right? And you return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart. And the picture is that he's going to bring back all of them. When Ezra came back with the gang, he had approximately 50,000 people. That wasn't all of them coming back. And you'll go back, and I told you can read from chapters 27 up here to our text here in Deuteronomy 30, and there's stuff that's written in there. It talks about this fine, delicate man, you know, when these bad things start to happen and they're getting ready to get banished, he's going to turn into like almost a monster, it looks like. And he's going to actually eat his own children. Now, did that happen when the Babylonian captivity took place? Yeah, it did. Do you guys remember any other time it ever took place? How about when the Jews surrounded Jerusalem with the armies? Cannibalism took place there too. See, so it's more than just this Babylonian captivity that's being referenced here. Okay? So it's looking ahead. And the key verse, like I said, is really here in verse 6, which Mr. Wilson wanted me to kind of work on a little bit this morning. Which, like I said, I'm going to work on a little bit. But, you know, when you start talking about the land, you know, and possessing that and all the things involved with that, anybody that's from Billings knows where this message is going to end. I'm a little disappointed in Brother Steve. You stole my thunder. I'm a Hebrews 12, 22 through 24 guy. And I mean, those verses, brethren, and I've said this before, I think, from here, open up the Old Testament like no other verses to me. And I hope to you. But anyway, we're going to talk about the circumcised heart. Isn't it interesting? Moreover, the Lord, or Elohim, Yahweh Elohim, in verse 6, will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants. You go and you read the book of Judges as they enter into the promised land. All those that had come out of Egypt, you know, those warriors are described as, but they fell in the wilderness because they didn't listen to the voice of the Lord. By the way, you know, one thing that David Renner said in the Men's Peaks at one of the watchdogs that he did, he mentioned to everybody there, he said, by the way, you know, in the Old Testament, they didn't have a word for obey. Where it says obey, that really means you need to listen, think about it, and then execute it. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that's very true. There's two words used in the Hebrew that we see translated obey. And they both have to do with listening, thinking about it, and then executing it. There isn't literally a word that means obey. It's listen. Faith comes by. Are you listening? See, that's what God's always saying to us. Are you listening? See? But isn't it interesting? They come out. They fall in the wilderness. Moses says, circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants, your offspring, your children, to love the Lord, love Yahweh Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, in order that you may live. So this circumcised heart has something to do with being able to live, right? So they come out, they cross the Jordan River. You know, second time the water stopped and the people crossed. And of course, by this time, that, you know, one time, hey, maybe it's fluke, the people are thinking in the nations. You know, but when the River Jordan stops, backs up, and they hear about that, it says that, man, you know, they're quivering. They're like, uh-oh. These guys really do have the power of some really awesome God behind them. I mean, they're scared. They're fearful. But you know what happened is all those ones that came through the wilderness, that were born in the wilderness, all right, only Caleb and Joshua survived out of that original group. So everybody else had to be circumcised. So you can read early on in the book of Judges that they had to circumcise them. And then when they crossed and they circumcised them, they named the place where they circumcised them Gilgal. And Gilgal means rolling. Rolling, rolling, roll away the reproach. See, that's what they were doing there. It says they rolled away the reproach. I had to get a song out of the way so you guys would be satisfied and get it over with. See, so, but that's how that place got its name. It rolled away the reproach that they brought with them out of Egypt, see? So they weren't even circumcised. And here Moses is saying, here's a circumcision that we're really concerned with. And it's mentioned earlier in the book of Deuteronomy, about chapter 10, about circumcise your hearts, you know, and quit having a stiff neck. So this is a big thing, a big thing. Back in Genesis 17, let's go there. Let's just, you know, we got to look and see, how big is this circumcision? Circumcision, it's a big thing in the Old Testament. We understand, but just time for review. You guys, are you guys up for that?
Yeah.
No, come on. Are you up for that?
Yeah.
Are you up for it?
Yeah.
All right, Genesis 17. We're going to keep them awake, that's for sure, Jay. We're going to keep them awake, okay? Genesis 17, beginning in verse 10. Well, 9. God said further to Abraham, now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout your generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised and flesh your foreskin shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. And every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. A servant who is born in a house or is bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants. A servant who is born in your house or who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. Thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. But an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Sure appears that all those ones that were born in the wilderness, coming through the wilderness, that weren't circumcised, they were in deep, deep trouble. They'd broken the covenant. See, now this is pre-law, but if you read Leviticus, which I know Luke has a tough time reading, he admitted that. I don't know where he is. But it was codified in the law in Leviticus 12:3 when it had to do with, you know, the rites of purification when a male child was born. So it was codified in law. It became part of the law. Even though it was pre-law, it became part of the law. So that had been delivered on Sinai. Right? So it was part of the law. So you see here in verse 14, if you are uncircumcised, cut off, no part of the covenant. We have a principle, don't we? No circumcision. Cut off. Bad situation. How bad could this be? Well, you know, when I always think of this. This is always an interesting one to me. In Exodus 4, let's go there. We're going to get through some stuff fairly fast here and then move even quicker. Exodus 4 and verse 24. This is after the Lord calls Moses to deliver the people, right? Go deliver them. Remember, circumcision has been in place for a while, since Father Abe, at least 600 years or so, all right, approximately, by the time of Moses. And he calls him and says, all right, you're going to go back and leave my people out. On the way, look what happens here. This is going to be God's deliverer. Verse 24. Now it came about at the lodging place on the way that the Lord, Yahweh, met him, him being Moses, and sought to put him to death. What? That's what you got to be saying, right? Then Zipporah, I don't know about you guys, but it's so funny. Zipporah, zip, took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and threw it at Moses' feet. And she said, "You are indeed a bridegroom of blood to me." So he, Yahweh, let him alone. At that time, she said, "You are a bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision." Moses was in danger of being killed because he took circumcision so lightly. This is important stuff. Really important stuff. All right, now, God's using this as a type, right? This is important. Circumcision, I want to use this idea of circumcision to communicate some principles to my people. So I'm going to start with the natural, and I'm going to move to the spiritual with it. That's what he's going to do. But the problem has always been a heart problem, hasn't it? Now, the heart in Hebrew is a word, I'm going to say labab, I don't know how they say it, but it sounds good to me. It's L-A-B-A-B is how we would spell it in English. But it's just the furthest, you know, they'll say the furthest internal organ. But what it really means in the Hebrew is that it has to do with the seat of your will, the seat where you reflect, the seat where you operate your intelligence. All right, we're talking about this is, you know, it's your, and this is the description, a definition from the Hebrew, your inner man. All along, what has God been concerned with? The inner man, right? The inner man. So, in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, many of us are very familiar with it. You know, the heart is deceitful, desperately sick. Who can understand it? See, the heart of man set on his own agenda is desperately sick. I don't know about you guys, but I read about some of the things that go on with men outside of Christ, and I mean, it's sick, isn't it? It's sick. It's desperately sick. So that's always been the problem, the uncircumcised heart. Physical circumcision isn't going to fix that, but it's useful to communicate some principles. Would you guys agree? Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I lost him. Would you guys agree? And what would you guys say?
Amen.
All right. Now let's go to Jeremiah 4. Some of the things that Moses prophesied about, and he got it absolutely right, what was going to happen, that would be expected of God's spokesperson, right? Let me tell you what's going to happen, all right? Jeremiah 4 says above this chapter or below chapter 4, however it reads in your New American Standard, if you're carrying that. I heard something about, did you say, Jay, some people read out of the nearly inspired version?
Rumored.
Okay. All right. I'm not picking on it yet. I'm having fun here. Judah threatened with invasion, it says. All right, verse 1. If you will return, O Israel, declares Yahweh, then you should return to me. And if you will put away your detested things from my presence and will not waver, and you will swear, as Yahweh lives, in truth, in justice, and in righteousness, then the nations... What's that doing in there? I thought he was talking about Judah here. Did you catch that? Let's just read verse 2 again. And you will swear, as Yahweh lives, in truth, in justice, and in righteousness, then the nations will bless themselves in him. Ooh, bless the nation. Boy, that sounds vaguely familiar. I'll come back to Jay. He'll help me with that. Okay, so the nations will bless themselves in him, and in him they will glory. This is talking about Judah going into captivity and the nations are going to be blessed by this. It's something. Now listen, you're reading this as a Jew. I always tell the people, read it like a Jew. Read it like a Jew or an Israelite in that day. What? They read that in Jeremiah and they say, kill him! Why do you think they murdered all the prophets, brethren? All these little things are sowing in there. All these little seeds, all these little threads for us. When the Jews are reading that, they go, that's blasphemy! Kill him! No, Isaiah had a whole lot of blasphemy in his scroll, according to the Israelites. And the legend is, they put him in a log. That wasn't good enough. How'd you like to get stuffed in a hollow log? That'd be fun, huh? Oh, bring the saw on. Double the honor. Here comes the saw. But things like this grab my attention. And what I'm trying to get you to do is see this. Do you see these threads running? Back of my neck, the hair's already up. Whoa, this stuff's cool. This should get you excited, super excited, okay? For thus says Yahweh to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to Yahweh and remove the foreskins of your heart. Men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my wrath go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because of the evil of your deeds. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, to Yahweh. Remove the foreskins of your heart. This heart, it's just filled with flesh. By that, your carnal agenda. All right? A few chapters forward, Jeremiah 9. 25. Jeremiah 9, verse 25. Behold, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, that I will punish all who are circumcised and yet uncircumcised. These are the circumcised that he considers uncircumcised. I should tell you something right there. Circumcision in the flesh is a bit of a problem. It could become uncircumcised. Can't. We're going to go in the New Testament where many of you know where I'm going to go already. But we're going to go there and see this. See, the principle is laid out here. So that when Paul brings it forth in the book of Romans, it's not going to be some unusual idea or concept. See? 25 and 26. That I will punish all who are circumcised yet uncircumcised. Egypt, and Judah. Thrown right in there. And Edom, the sons of Ammon and Moab. Those are some real great group of people, weren't they? And all those who inhabit the desert, who clip the hair of their temples, for all the nations are uncircumcised. And here we go. And all the house of Israel are uncircumcised of heart. Uncircumcised. Heart. Over to Ezekiel. God always identifies the problem, doesn't he? I don't know about you guys, but Jay identified a problem pretty well last night. I hope everybody paid attention to that. Ezekiel 36:22. Israel to be renewed for his name's sake, says above these verses. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says... This is Adonai, or you could say Elohim, okay? God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am Yahweh, declares God, Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight, for I will take you from the nations, catch the language here, take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands. Sound vaguely familiar? See, this is the stuff prophesied, about to come true, and we're going to get to the solution here in a minute. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. This sounds just like Deuteronomy 30, doesn't it? Then I will sprinkle clean water on you. That's sprinkled on the heart, there in Hebrews chapter 10. And you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, hey, didn't we hear that word back in Deuteronomy? There it is again. Moreover, I will give you a new heart, put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. excuse me, and you will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers, so you will be my people, and I will be your God. And he's going to go on and talk about multiplication. This is just like Deuteronomy 30. Just exactly like, almost exactly like Deuteronomy 30. But we get a clue who these people are that he's talking about. So it helps us to begin to unwrap Deuteronomy 30. So what people is he talking about? What land? What's this uncircumcised heart? It has to do with the Spirit. He's going to take away that heart of stone. He's going to replace it with a tender heart, a compassionate heart. You know, Colossians 3 would talk about that. You know, he's going to change the way you think. It's your inner man. It's your will. It's your intellect. If you've ever been persuaded to change your mind from a position you held to a position that was different and to adopt it and accept it, you had to have information that was verifiable that you could prove to be true, and then you would be willing to make the change. See, taking people through the study of the proof that the Bible is the Word of God is so important. See, when you prove the Bible is the Word of God and then you walk them through stuff, they're going to go with it. They're going to adopt that way of thinking. I had a conversation with Tim McHenry before I came into the tent here this morning and sat down and thought about my message. And he said, you know, faith is this picture that you adopt and a new way of thinking. And it's a great statement. I told him I'd try and give him credit. I gave it to you, Tim. But it's not like it's an unusual statement. We've all heard it before, but it's a way of thinking. See, the New Testament is a way of thinking. So if you're going to move from things that are physical and begin to adopt and believe things that are spiritual that you can't see and touch. Sorry. Water hit the ground. You've got to believe this to be true. And that's what God's been working on. He's trying to move you into the spiritual realm, into things you can't see, taste, touch. You know, this is important stuff. But he's got to circumcise the heart. But remember the principle in circumcision. There is a principle in circumcision. It's going to be a way that God identifies you as one of his people. Right? So we've got to fix prophesied. Let's go over now to Romans chapter 2. Circumcision. One of the timeless truths of the Torah. Amen?
Amen.
All right, well, let's start over. Everybody ready? Circumcision. One of the timeless truths of the Torah.
Amen.
This is great. I feel like the conductor. This is great. Shouldn't have turned me loose with that. Okay. Romans chapter 2. And I'm just, for the sake of time, just going to condense this down and read just a small section. Chapter 2 really is pretty good. But we're going to start in verse 25. For indeed, circumcision is of value if you practice the law. But if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. If therefore the uncircumcised man keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? So he's talking about circumcision in the flesh. Will not he who is physically uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not judge you, who, though having the letter of the law and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? I mean, he's working on the Jews, saying, hey man, here's the situation. That circumcision is only good if you keep the law perfectly. Now, he says the same thing to the Galatian church in Galatians 3:3. He says, if you're going to be circumcised, you've got to keep the whole law. Well, how was the record of mankind trying to keep the whole law? It wasn't going to work, right? So their circumcision in the flesh ultimately would become uncircumcision. They just can't do it. So that's what I want to focus on there. Circumcision in the flesh, it ain't going to get it done. Circumcision of the heart is going to get it done. Right? Verse 28. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that which is of the heart. All this stuff in the Old Testament was pointing to what Paul's going to talk about here. Circumcision, that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. Circumcision of the heart. You know, I've said for a long time, you can read just these verses, maybe not completely understand everything that are in these verses, but you can read it, you can get to 28 and 29, and you can arrive at a very logical conclusion. I think I'll let him go over first. It sounded like a jet. I guess he turned away. Thank you, Lord. Maybe not. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. You go on to see that it's the circumcised heart that identifies you. The circumcised heart that identifies you as one of God's people. And he says, if there's a Jew today in the world, Mr. Jew, it's the Jew whose heart has been circumcised, not the flesh. See, the problem is this carnal nature, this fleshly nature. So God begins by taking some of it off on the male, begins there, and he's ultimately going to say, what we got to do is we just got to get rid of that body of flesh. See? And it's going to have to do with the circumcision of the heart. So I've said for a long time, you can read that, and it's real easy. Who the Jew? Who the Jew? You the Jew. In Christ, you the Jew, according to Romans 2. That's important stuff. I'm going to tell you, we had a family that came to our assembly and came to contact with us, a really nice father and mother, and they had an adult female child. And man, they went through study. I think Luke took them through the study. Joel and Cinder was her name, and the daughter's name has slipped my mind right now. But, man, they listened to the Scripture. They obeyed the plan of salvation. Got through the plan of salvation. I think one of them actually got carried out of the river. Was it you, Peach, that carried one of them out of the river? Come on. And maybe he didn't hear me. He's looking to Mike Ferguson. What did he say? You did, right? Okay, we have an acknowledgement. Must be a 5-second delay on the message. Oh, yeah, I do. So anyway, he carried... Was it the daughter or the mom you carried out? The mom. I mean, these guys were all in, right? It wasn't long. Less than a year. They're out. You know what the problem was? They couldn't accept the fact the things that were being taught and preached from up front about premillennialism being wrong and God going to go back and rebuild the physical temple and work through the physical Jews. They could not accept that. They left the church because they couldn't accept the fact that the Scripture made clear, both here in Romans 2 and Romans 9, if you want a real easy lesson plan on, you know, who's the Jew or who's the Israelite. I mean, it's very clear. It's one who has the circumcised heart. In Romans 9, it says the child of promise. Well, what's the Holy Spirit described in the New Testament? The promise. See, so it's the child of promise. It's the one with the circumcised heart that becomes a true Jew. See, so I've heard people say, the Jews are God's chosen people. Now, some of us are almost, I just say, amen. Amen. The question is, who did you? I do it all the time. Who did you? And I say, if you're in Christ, according to Romans 2, you're the Jew. You in Christ? Oh, yeah. How'd you get in Christ? Well, you know. No, tell me how you got in Christ. Well, you know. Tell me how you got in Christ. Have you ever had anybody do that? Do you believe the Bible? Yeah. Why do you believe the Bible? They're shocked you even ask them that question. Well, you know. And I go, no. Why do you believe it? Well, you know. No, why do you believe it? See, that's the most important question you ask anybody. You believe the Bible is the Word of God, no matter what their answer is, the next question is why? No. Why? Yes. Why? Okay. All right. Enough of beating that. All right. So who did you? Who did you? Come on, guys.
That's right.
There's always a clown in the crowd. By the way, Steve is a lot of people's favorite preacher. But I know that there are some that find Mark Miller to be their favorite preacher. I'm trying to get them to repent. So I'm still pretty partial to Brother Jay. But anyway, and I love listening to Luke. Never tire of listening to Luke. Somebody said that's right over there. All right, so somebody said that's right. All right, there we go. Got to be consistent here. No partiality. All right. So where does this circumcision? Does the New Testament talk about circumcision of the heart? And somebody, well, yeah, you know, let's go there. You guys know where I'm going, right? Who wants to call out the book? Oh, you guys are well trained. For those of you that are new in Christ and maybe aren't familiar with all this stuff or wondering who's this wacko jacko up here, you know, this is great stuff. How many, by the way, how many of you are less than, say, 2 years in Christ? Raise your hand. Okay, there's going to be some of you that are going to really have some benefit from some of the stuff we're going through this morning. Let's go to Colossians 2. And you've probably already seen this, but verse 11. And in him, Colossians 2:11, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands and removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. See, the circumcision is Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in immersion, in which you were also raised up with him through faith and working God who raised him from the dead. So there is a circumcision. Had to do with being in Christ. We know the Holy Spirit is involved in that. All right? And then unlike the Old Testament when they would circumcise and take whatever instrument they used and set aside, God allows the one that was involved, an active participant in our circumcision spiritually, to remain. So we have the Holy Spirit that indwells us. See? Circumcised heart. So in Philippians, that's the book previous to Colossians. Go to Philippians 3 real quick. Verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me and is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, put no confidence in the flesh. It's not about the flesh. It's about changing our way of thinking. Anything that comes from a fleshly nature, fleshly wisdom, whatever. That's all demonic. We know that according to James. Right? We switch, we go to spiritual. All right? And we're the true offspring. We can go to Galatians 3 and prove that. We're running out of time. I want to talk just briefly about into the land. By the way, it talks about, you know, the ones that return would truly obey the voice of the Lord, listen to the voice of the Lord. Okay? That's why we have Romans 8, 1 through 4 in there. You know, if you're led by the Spirit, we fulfill the law, right? That fulfills that passage out of Deuteronomy 30. You will obey the law. We do it by walking by faith, spiritual mindset. I'm saving time but not reading those verses because I'm almost out of time. Romans 8, 1 through 4. We who walk by the Spirit fulfill the law. Okay? The land. I want to talk about the land a little bit. Let's talk about the land. This is all kinds of stuff in the Old Testament that you can go back and look at. But I do want to look at a couple of verses, and then we're going to get ready to close this up. Let's go to Psalm 87. That's where I want to go. Talking about the land. Psalm 87, verse 1. His foundations is in the holy mountains. His foundation, excuse me. Yahweh loves the gates of Zion. Where's Mr. Renner, Cliff Renner? Where's your hat, Cliff? You're going to put it on, aren't you? Arthur Easton, would you turn around and tell everybody what Cliff's hat says there? Zion. Right on, Zion. Okay. The Lord loves the gates of Zion. More than all the dwelling places of Jacob, glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. That's you, brothers and sisters. I shall mention Rahab and Babylon among those who know me. Rahab and Babylon. Again, what's this doing in here? All right, if you're a Jew. Behold, Philistine Tyre with Ethiopia. This one was born there. Hey, when you get the circumcision of Christ, you know, made without human hands, working a God, you're born again. Amen?
Amen.
You're born again.
Amen. Amen.
Just want to make sure you guys got it. You're born from above is literally there, right?
Right?
Right, right. That, over here. That's weak, but that's better. Okay. But of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. See, when you are immersed into Christ, where are you born? You're born in Zion. And the Most High Himself will establish her. Yahweh shall count when He registers the peoples. This one was born there. See, if you weren't born in Zion, if you weren't born, reborn through that circumcised heart and the operation of the Spirit, you weren't born in Zion. You're not going to get registered with the peoples that belong to God. You won't. All right? Let's go to... let's go to Hebrews 11. I got to hurry up and try and get this closed. I know I'm running out of time, Jay. Hebrews 11. Okay, what land were they supposed to possess? We've read about Zion and all this kind of stuff, and I've told you it's about you. What land? Hebrews 11. What land? Verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Verse 13. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. See, brethren, what land, what city did Abraham, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob look to and receive by faith? It's that heavenly one. That's the real land God was going to bring the circumcised of heart into, the heavenly land. Hebrews 12. This is just super important. Verse 22, and Steve read this last night. I'm going to read it again this morning. But you have come, Christian, the one with a circumcised heart, the one born in Zion, one born from above, one registered by God, registered with the peoples. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn ones, that's literal in the Greek, ones, plural, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. This is where you've come. Now you can go back with these verses, and you can look at all the prophecies from the major prophets and the minor prophets, and see that every one of those are talking about the church, about you. So Paul talks to the church. He says, who's my joy and my crown? He identifies the church as his joy and his crown. How did Jesus get through the cross? How did he get through what he knew he was going to take, that whooping, which has been well described? How did he do it? Remember, it says, the ones that come back and obey. Listen. The Lord will rejoice over you. Well, that's a little earlier in Hebrews chapter 12, which is why this is such an awesome chapter. Go back to the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12. See, the church is identified by the Apostle Paul, the joy and the crown. His. But he's also mentioning it because it is the Lord's joy, the Lord's crown. So how did he get through the cross? He had his eyes fixed on you, on me. He had his eyes fixed on the throne. He had his eyes fixed on the throng. It almost makes me cry, man, how much he loves us. I'm serious. Therefore, verse 1, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, man, they're just, yes. Look at the end of chapter 11. They could not be made perfect apart from us, but when the church came into existence, they're like, yes! This is the Old Testament faithful that are excited. Go, go, go! If this can't get you pumped up, brethren, I have nothing more I can give you. Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the races set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Things get tough. You ever had a hunk of your hide yanked out, your ribs exposed yet? Not yet. Okay. But fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy, I will rejoice over you. But for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The throne and the throng. The throne and the throng. Joy. Jesus' joy. He'll rejoice. Now, I didn't do as good a job as I could have on this message because Jay only gave me less than an hour. And all the rest of you guys had over an hour. Right? So, it's not my fault. Okay, so. No. Somebody got there before I got over there. Okay. Brethren, I'm just trying to get you to appreciate the scriptures in a little bit of time I had this morning. I hope you do. Appreciate and value the scriptures because it's trying to paint a picture of how valuable you are to God. And if you understand who you are in Christ, truly understand who you are in Christ, there's going to be no haranguing needed to get you at the assembly or anywhere that there's going to be preaching and teaching taking place.
Amen.
You all heard that. You said amen, and that's right. That's why family camp, you know, we know when it happens, Labor Day every year. Man, you should block that time out. At least you're in Montana. Block it out. Get your vacation if you got to use it. Take it. Be here. This is where some of the greatest preaching in the entire universe, and I'm not overstating that, the entire universe takes place. Because the angels and God are looking down on what's happening here today. Well, maybe not at Mark Miller. But he's looking down at us. Brethren, there was one other thing I didn't mention. When they were going to go into the land, God had designated that I'm going to put my name someplace and you're going to appear there before me. Don't you come empty-handed. Right? Isn't that what he said? Don't you come empty-handed. See, this was all about us appearing before Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So see, we appear before Christ. It's always been his plan. And are we coming empty-handed? No. You know, there's some great psalms. Talk about sowing their seed. Crying with tears of joy. Bringing their sheaves with them. See, we bring those that we have the opportunity to bring the message to with us. We come home to heaven. We don't come empty-handed, brethren. That's why Jesus said in John 15, man, you got to bear fruit or you're going to be cut off. See, we can all bear fruit. And we can all appear before God as he rejoices. Because he blessed us abundantly, which I didn't get a chance to touch on. But Jesus said he came to what? To give life, bring life, and give it abundantly, right? Bring it abundantly. We go to Ephesians 3. I didn't have time to go through everything I had. Brethren, I just want you to know who you are. Who the Jew?
You.
Who the Jew?
You.
Who the Jew?
You.
According to what?
Romans 2.
That's right. Right? That's us. That's us, brethren. That's us. Don't forget who you are. Know who Jesus is. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. Know your purpose. We're supposed to multiply and live an abundant life. Amen.